Thank you for coming and staying for the gospel meeting tonight. If you've just come in, we've enjoyed a good day around the Word of God. Tonight's meeting is a little bit different in that the meetings previous to this one were for those who are believers or those who were Christians. The meeting tonight is for the purpose of preaching the gospel, telling individuals how they can have peace with God and know their sins forgiven. Now, before we open the scriptures, let's just take a moment to pray. Our Father, we quieten ourselves in thy presence and hasten to mention the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he has been the center of our thoughts and of our attention today since we gathered this morning. He has been the center of these gospel hymns, these lovely gospel hymns that collectively we have sung together as well. And our hearts do rejoice that the Lord Jesus is the center and central theme of the great story of the gospel, and it is him that we desire to hold up tonight in the preaching of the gospel. We thank thee for the wonder of the love of God. We thank thee for the wonder of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, his ascension to glory, his glorification, and his interest now 2,000 years after the cross. His invitation still goes out to men and women and boys and girls to come. And so for the day that is now past, we return thee our thanks for thy goodness and kindness, the word of God that has been spoken, help given to our brothers. And we just ask now for help as we open the scriptures and speak for a few moments, giving thee our thanksgiving for the Lord Jesus in his name. Amen. Now, if you have a Bible or New Testament, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter and chapter 3. We'll just center our thoughts on one verse, verse number 18, although we shall try to quote various verses through the message as well. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 reads, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit." Now just keep your eye in your Bible. "For Christ," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "hath once suffered," that was at the cross. And why did he suffer? It was for sins. And what was the purpose of those sufferings? To bring you, to bring me to God. Being put to death in the flesh simply means that Christ died. He actually died. Being made alive or quickened by the Spirit tells us that he rose again on the third day. What a glorious gospel verse. And we trust as we look at it this evening and try to expound it and look at it in very, very simple terms that you might understand for yourself what was the reason for which Christ died. There are many gospel verses in our Bible that are very clear and concise and tell us, as it were, all of the gospel story. And at least in my mind, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 falls into that category. Think of a number of things just about this verse in a very, very general way. It tells me how God has dealt with our sins. How has God dealt with our sins? Well, Christ suffered for those sins. It tells me what Peter personally appreciated about the verse. Remember now, Peter's writing by the Spirit of God. It's approximately 30 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. And I might say, if I could say for Peter, it's as fresh in his mind as the day that Christ died. So Peter has come into a personal appreciation for the reason of the death of Christ. Again, the Bible verse tells me how far God was willing to go to forgive you. You say tonight, Mr. Gould, is sin really a big problem? It's far bigger than you and I understand. And it's such a big problem that it was only God who can forgive sins, and God only can forgive sins through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So the Bible verse tells us how far God was willing to go to forgive you and me of our sins. But then again, the Bible verse tells us how much God loves me. How much does God love you? How much does God love me? I told you this afternoon of some of the work that's going on in Manitoba with Ukrainian work. A story just comes to my mind, if you don't mind. I'm preaching one Sunday afternoon in the Hilton Hotel, and the lady puts up her hand just about where these young ladies are sitting here, and she stops me in the middle of the preaching. Oh, that's okay, I don't mind. She says, Jack, how can God forgive wicked men? I've never been raised in war. She said her brother that was killed in the war. How do you answer such a question? The only verse that came to my mind was the Lord's words from the cross of Luke 23, where the Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive me. If God could forgive the soldiers and the religious leaders and all that were responsible for putting Christ to death, do you not think God could forgive you? How can God forgive wicked man? But again, our Bible verse tells us, just come a little bit closer to home now. The Bible verse tells us tonight how you could be forgiven. You see, that was the whole purpose of the Lord Jesus coming into the world. Wonderful it is enough that God so loved the world. Wonderful enough it is that there was provision enough in the death of Christ for all men to be saved. But what about you? God is expecting you to see, to move into the good of that work that was accomplished. First of all, for the honor and the glory of God, and then for your blessing and mine as well. So let's just break down the verse. We'll look at it in four different stanzas, just with the 20 minutes that are at our disposal tonight. First of all, Christ died for our sins, Christ also hath once suffered for sins. I want you to think of the totality of sins. How many sins? Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Christ is the center of the gospel message. If we do not preach him, we have not preached the gospel. Notice again in the context that Peter instructs us that the death of Christ is paramount in preaching the gospel. If we fail to preach Christ's death and crucifixion, we have missed the mark in the preaching of the gospel. So Peter, as it were, he comes right to the point. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. What is the relationship between the death of Christ and sins. Think about it for a moment. What is the relationship between the death of Christ and sins? Well, let's let the Bible answer the question. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And every child that's gone to Sunday school and adults that have sat in gospel meetings understand this, that when the Bible speaks that Christ has died, it speaks of his death on the cross. Christ died for our sins. Hebrews 9:26. But now once in the end of the age hath Christ appeared to put away sin. So we ask ourselves the question, where did Christ put away sin? It wasn't by his virgin birth. And it wasn't by his sinless life, although that was necessary. It demanded the death of the cross. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Where did Christ bear sins? At the cross. Brother James mentioned this verse this afternoon from John 1. John Baptist, as he sees the Lord Jesus coming to him, he likely pointed, he wanted everyone to know on that occasion the importance of the statement that he's about to make. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Come to the words now of Mark chapter 2. They're the words of the religious leaders in accusation against the Lord Jesus. They said this, who can forgive sins but God only? Now, we have to give these religious leaders marks on two grounds. Number one, they knew sin had to be forgiven. Do you know your sins have to be forgiven? And secondly, they knew that only God could forgive sins. What they didn't understand was that the man Christ Jesus standing before them was God manifest in flesh, and he had the power to forgive sins. Therefore, at the cross, during the 3 hours of darkness, the totality of the world's sin was placed on Christ, and he bore those sins in his own body on the tree. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the totality of sins. But I want you to think of the finality of sufferings. For Christ also hath once suffered. The idea is he has suffered once and for all. And that simply means, friends, this evening, that the Lord Jesus will never come back to earth again to suffer for sins. So complete were the sufferings of Christ. So satisfied was God in relation to those sins in that he raised them from the dead. For that was the stamp of approval, that God was satisfied. Christ will never return to earth again to suffer for sins. He has suffered once and for all. You see, it's our sins that have separated us from God. There are Old Testament verses that prove this. There are verses in the New Testament that prove this. Listen to the prophecy of Isaiah 59:2, that your sins have separated between you and your God. Come again to the famous verse gospel preachers love to use from Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, you say, Mr. Gould, you don't understand. Well, what don't I understand? You don't understand that I've been raised in a Christian family, thank God. You don't understand that I've been raised in the Sunday school, thank God. You don't understand that I'm always under the sound of the gospel, thank God. You don't understand that I'm not as bad as the other children on the street or in the school. I say, thank God, but you still sin. You see, one sin was enough that caused a holy God to cast Lucifer out of heaven. Just one. One sin was sufficient from a holy God to cast our first parents out of the Garden of Eden. And one sin is enough to keep you and me out of God's heaven. And we've all sinned far more than one sin. And we know that if we were honest. But when we think of the Lord Jesus on the cross, there was a provision made at the cross that is sufficient for all mankind. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be up here tonight. There is salvation for you tonight. You say, well, Mr. Goode, how do you know? That's what the Bible says. Positively, God who would have all peoples to be saved. Negatively, God wishes that none might perish. So whether we look at the truth positively or whether we look at it negatively, there was provision made for all when the Lord Jesus cried, it is finished. You say, what was finished? A way of salvation was finished. You say, what was finished? We might say a road to heaven was finished. A pathway that starts tonight in this building that could start you on that way to heaven tonight. That way was finished. Understand, first of all, friends, this evening, that before God could come out to you and me as sinners that were lost in our sins, Christ, first of all, had to die and satisfy all the claims of God. God's rights were first. They had to be satisfied. And in that God has been satisfied, God now in turn comes out to you and he offers to you a full and a free salvation. The totality of our sins, the finality of his sufferings. Think with me again, the purity of the Savior. Look at the next words. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just. Now I'll do it carefully. I'll just put another word in there. I'm not adding to the scriptures, okay? It's the just one. That means it's Christ. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus, the just one for or on behalf of the unjust. Peter is preaching, is he not, in Acts chapter 3. And he speaks to the religious leaders of that day of the just one. He's speaking again of the person of the Lord Jesus. So Peter makes it crystal clear. He's got it straight. Have you got it straight? Peter's got it straight. Christ has suffered. It was for our sins. Get this now. It had to be for our sins because he had no sin of his own. Did you get that? That is why I have just labeled this the purity of God's Son, the Savior. You know, friends, it's just not that the Lord Jesus did not sin. Now, that statement is true. The Lord Jesus did not sin. The proof of the scriptures is that Christ could not sin. Absolutely impossible for God's Son to sin. Listen to what his friend said. Peter spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus. I tell you this, If you spent 3 years in close proximity to another person, you would know whether they sinned or not. Peter says he did know that. Paul, you say he was the man with the university degrees. He was the man with the brains. And he writes of the Lord Jesus, he knew no sin. But John comes even closer. John, you remember, was that disciple that took that privileged position of lying on the chest of Christ. And he says of him, possibly one of the most misquoted verses in our presence. Some say in him was no sin. That's not what your Bible says. Your Bible says in him is no sin, never was, and thank God never can be. It is the purity of the Savior. The just one is substitutionary, taking the place of those who are unjust. The totality of our sins, the finality of his sufferings, the purity of the Savior. You say tonight, just as I close, what does this have to do with me? And that's a very good question. The Lord Jesus died 2,000 years ago. I wasn't here. Does his death and resurrection, does it really affect me? And the answer, friend, tonight is it does affect you. And it does affect me. And it does affect our eternal destination, heaven above, if we have him as Lord and Savior, hell beneath, if we reject him as our Lord and Savior. How then does this all fit into this scenario then of his death and his resurrection? Well, look back at the Bible verse. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Five simple words. The just, that's Christ. The unjust, that's you and me. And there's a little connecting word there that is absolutely vital for you and me to understand. For. It could mean the just one for the unjust. It could mean, again, the just one on behalf of the unjust. I was speaking on this verse on Monday night to the Ukrainians back in Winnipeg, and of course we're using translator. And so I was giving some different words, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous. And the translator looked up to me and she says, no, that's what the Ukrainian Bible says. The righteous for the unrighteous. The truth is the same, isn't it? The sinless one for those of us that are sinners. The just one who never sinned on behalf of those who are unjust, who have sinned. The righteous one, righteous meaning upright, for those of us who are unrighteous. So then, what then is the great truth of the scriptures? And that's this. The very purpose of the death and resurrection of Christ is to bring you personally to God. And you need to be brought to God in the same way that I needed to be brought to God. And we need to be brought to God because sins tonight separate you from God. Sin is our problem. God says, I have an answer in the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Since you and I have no ability to save ourselves, God had to step in. Had God not stepped in, had God never sent Christ to be the Savior of the world, we would have been doomed and damned eternally. The answer, and the only answer, to the problem of your sin, as I had to find out at 12 years of age, the only answer to the problem of my sin was Christ in his death and his resurrection. Just as I close, I hear someone say, "Mr. Gould, I realize sin is the problem. I realize my sin is the problem. I realize that I deserve judgment, that's hell, and the lake of fire for who I am and what I have done. But I want to be saved. In fact, I would like to be saved right now before even you pray. What's the magic?" No, there's no magic. "What's the right words to say?" No, it's not about saying words. It's about you understanding those five words in the middle of the verse. That the just one Christ has willingly died and paid the price of sin for you that were unjust or unrighteous. And simply resting where God has rested. Where has God rested? God's rested not only in the death of Christ. God has rested in the resurrection of Christ. And there's a living Savior at God's right hand while you sit on those comfortable burgundy chairs. There's a Savior in heaven, and he's willing and able to save you from the totality of your sins and give you peace with God if you would take your place as a sinner. If you would allow Christ to take his place as Lord and Savior and take him for what he has done, not, yes, on behalf of others, true enough, but personally on behalf of you. Trust the Savior. Trust him now and know your sins forgiven. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for these great scriptures, focusing our minds on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We think, our Father, of those of us that are saved, how lost we were in our sins, and how marvelously God came in and saved us. What we're enjoying today, peace with God, sins forgiven, a home in heaven forever. We long, our Father, that others would come into such blessings tonight and know the forgiveness of God. Part us with thy blessing. Remember, as some stay around to sing, remember them, we pray. Remember, our Father, any who are thinking about being saved, just take them quietly to their homes. May they ponder the verse that we have read tonight. Bring us up tomorrow, we pray, in thy will, to once more celebrate the Lord's Supper as we give thee thanks in the Savior's name. Amen.